my God, Sable.
What? What? What happened?
The minute we signed on,
yeah,
a publicist who I will not name texted me in all caps, Sable dragging me. And I was like, what? And then Allure just reposted your, why is a hungry snake wrangler trying to sell me makeup?
But I did write that.
But you wrote it like a month ago, right?
Yes. It was like beginning of this month. Beginning of March. Yeah. So you're right. Like a month ago. That's so funny. Wait, I'll cut it out. What publicist?
Because Allure posted it with the Kosas campaign that dropped like yesterday.
Oh, okay. I can see why they reheated that article.
Yep.
Because of the Kosas thing. Well, to be fair, I wrote that before the Kosas campaign debuted. So
love to Kosas. Please keep sending us blush.
I love Kosas. I don't see why him, but whatever, man. Do what you want.
I don't either. Who is he? We don't have to get into it. It's fine.
He's on a reality show. I don't know any of these people.
Neither do I.
Two people who don't watch reality TV. Well, I thought you watched Drag Race.
That is the most offensive thing you have ever said to me. That is crazy. I mentioned it because I'm perpetually online. My God. My gay ass co-host watches RuPaul's Drag Race. That is nasty work. I'm going to remember that one. Wow. I don't not watch Drag Race. I'm not one of those self-hating gays. I hate myself for many reasons, not for being gay. I'll watch it when it's on, but no, I don't exactly seek it out. We have to get off this topic. I'm humiliated.
God.
I have... For once in my life, I have a hot take, but I think it's too hot for the mic at this point, so I'm going to text it to you.
Oh my God.
I just need to wear one more thing, but I know you're going to agree with me for once.
I saw that Aloria did a slight rebrand. They swapped out their bottles.
I think that we should make the distinction between a rebrand and a rebottling. I think they have simply gotten new packaging. Okay. But
I think they kind of framed it as a rebranding.
And maybe they have.
They had an event about it last week. I was meant to go to the store, but then I went to King Spa with a friend, and then we just stayed there for like so long. And then it was past when the event was over. So I was like, whoop.
What the hell is King Spa?
Oh my God. King Spa is like one of my favorite Korean bathhouses. It's in New Jersey. So it's obviously a little bit of a trek, but if you have a friend with a car, it's like a 30-minute drive. Hmm. It's not far. It's like huge, multi-floors, like a dozen saunas, different little nap areas. It's just such a good way to like schwitz all day and then relax and then eat and then nap and then like go on a
Did you say nap? I don't want to leave my house to nap. I'm going to get robbed.
Literally people, because like everyone wears the little bathhouse uniforms that are like oversized gym clothes. And they have like PEMF mats. PEMF, which is like P-E-M-F. An acronym I never understand, but it's something to do with LED and wellness and magnets, whatever.
Oh God.
Yeah. But I was like, this is expensive. I'm going to lie here forever. Anyway, I love going to the bathhouse. But yeah, I did not make it back to New York in time to go to the event. But they're similar shape bottles, just like,
yeah,
they're pretty.
Yeah.
The frosted glass.
Yeah. Got that warm, soft touch. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they are only messaging it as new bottles, but they did wipe their grid. I think it's just new bottles. You know, not every brand is like, hi, we rebranded. Sometimes they just sort of like roll it out.
Yeah.
So them wiping the grid, I guess we'll have to see what's coming next. And I am seated because we love Aloria.
Yeah. I am curious what the next collection will be.
I know. They all slap.
It made me want to break out the soy sauce one. Jang.
Mm, yes. Like, yes.
Gotta find that in my closet.
I need to go back to them more instead of all the bullshit I always wear. Lord be an embargo. No, this is out. Go ahead.
What I am curious to smell and afraid to call in are the new Maison Margiela collection. Have you seen that?
I have seen that. It does sound good.
Yeah.
I would like to smell it.
I would like to smell it.
You know what I did smell is the new Chris Collins Sunset and Tamarindo Papaya y Mango. So for papaya and mango being in the name, it's a little, I don't want to say misleading. I will say they took a very imaginative route for this one. It's very floral. It's very tropical white floral in a way that I think, you know, if you like the tropical white florals, this is probably going to hit. I wanted more fruit from it. It's funny though. Yeah, it's pretty floral for me. You get the mango, you get the papaya. It's quite nice.
Mango again. Mango strikes again.
Mango again. Mango is here to stay. Yeah, it's a very tropical white floral mango. Really nice. I think many, many people are going to like it. Probably not the Chris Collins that I reach for, but I've been thinking, and I've said this before, but since we talked to him and got more acquainted with his fragrances, something about, like, I wouldn't call him like my favorite collection, but there's something about his collection that just hits all the right notes for me every time. Like if I was to imagine what my brand would be and then compare it to something that's out,
yeah,
I might say Chris Collins. I don't know. Just because they have like warm, spicy, you know, deep, sensual, sexy, whatever the hell. Quite nice. And Sunset in Tamarindo, which I'm sure I'm mispronouncing, is definitely a hard 180 from that. But I think it's also welcome because I can see them wanting to do something different. But it's nice. I was really excited to smell it. And though it might not be the one for me, I think it's going to be a very welcome addition to his collection and draw a lot more people to it. So
ooh,
it's a win. It's a win in my book.
There's also a Guerlain collection that I'm curious to smell.
The Musk collection.
The Musk collection.
I saw that and I was like, it's going to be for her.
Yeah, exactly. You were like, this is you. And I was like, yep.
It sounds gorgeous. I just, what am I going to do with a Musk collection? You know?
I love smelling like nothing. I love smelling like a beautiful nothing. Judging by the scents, I'm like, it's probably going to obviously have a smell, but like, it's just, it's just going to be like, I'm a girl.
Yeah.
How beautiful to be a girl. That's what I envision with these scents, but we shall see. They're sending me two of them.
Are they?
Yeah.
Which ones?
I asked for the cashmere one, the lingerie one, and the tulle one. We will see what arrives. I am appreciative for any of them.
I want to smell them. I mean, yeah. Again, they're going to be you fragrances, not me. I'm sure they'll be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Did you call in the new Mugler Angel Blush?
Yes. They said they will send when they have samples, and I await with bated breath.
I think they're sending it to me, and they're also sending the other angel that we talked about, Angel Elixir, or whatever the hell it was.
The pistachio one.
Yeah. Although they did tell me that they were also sending that two other times, so I guess I'll believe when I see it. But I'm excited to smell Angel Blush.
Me too. I have high hopes for that one. I think it's very, I'm like, nothing in almond. I love that.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Speaking of nothing, I smell like the new Le Labo Violette 30, which
really?
I mean, I like violet. So I was like, ooh, a note I like. And I smelled it in the store a couple of weeks ago and I really liked it. And it reminded me. If you have smelled the Gaiac 10 Le Labo, which is the Tokyo City exclusive, this smells quite similar to that. It's very invisible, sheer, musky wood with a touch of violet that gives it that kind of comforting, almost irisy powderiness to it. Like the little bit of like a watery floral. It's nice. I do get quite a bit of sandalwood with this one too. But this is like, I was like, the skin scent girlies are going to love this.
Yeah, I guess like I have to be totally honest. And I'm only saying this because it's Le Labo and like they're going to be fine. And nothing has ever appealed to me less.
I know.
Like that shit sounds a whack. But I know that there's going to be someone for it. And
here's the thing. I was wearing this the other day and everyone was like, wow, you smell so good. Wow, you smell so like, oh my gosh, you smell so good. I was like, the girls love to smell like nothing. They love to smell like a beautiful nothing.
Well, and you know what? In fairness, it is a skill and a talent to be able to make something that smells like reserved and muted.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know?
I'm like, does it even matter to call the notes? No, it doesn't. They're going to tell. It's like blonde woods, musk, sandalwood, violet. It smells like the Gaiac, I will say, like quite a lot. And a little bit of violet. It's got a little bit of that like kind of like cedary pencil shaving quality that I like. It's like a dry, comforting woods. What can I say? It is a beautiful nothing scent.
Beautiful.
They're going to love it.
I can't wait to smell it.
Look, I can't wait to not smell it on you. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Well, I'm wearing something you can smell. And thank God, I'm wearing the new 2% by Sniff.
Aha.
And I don't usually love to like wear something that we're going to talk about on the show, but it's our podcast, so who cares? I love a milk fragrance. I love anything milky, lactonic. So they had me with this one, and it's no secret. I really like Sniff. I've always liked Sniff. I think they're a really fun brand. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch them evolve, and you know, it is giving, what are they going to do next? So I approach this one with caution because I am severely lactose intolerant, but it is quite nice. It definitely feels like, what's the most literal way I can put this? A milk fragrance that Sniff would make, because it is imaginative, photorealistic, and fun. Mm-hmm. It's quite nice. I mean, I think that people are going to love it. It's sweet, but not cloyingly sweet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that a lot's being said about like Iris Mother's Milk, mm-hmm. or Eris, or whoever the fuck. It doesn't give you that like breast milk, baby head smell. This was actually for people who like to smell good. So the notes are milk carton accord, fresh dairy accord, lactons, vanilla, praline, and caramel. So yeah, it does lean sweet, but not like saccharine. I mean, don't run away with a praline and caramel. What I really like about it is the milk carton accord can hit you like, you know, eye-rolly, mm-hmm. but there is something in the slightest bit cardboardy. Ooh. In this that sort of gives carton, and it doesn't like hang around, like you don't smell stale, because I know I always say like Glossier U smells like cardboard. But like it's almost in place of a sandalwood, mm-hmm. and I mean it really might be a sandalwood, to be honest, mm-hmm. but it works really nicely. I mean, it's so fun. There are Sniff fragrances that I love and then Sniff fragrances that I like, and I think this sits like right in between those two. Mm-hmm. But it's great. I mean, have fun. And this is the heart of their milk and cereal collection. And the cereal elements are the three body sprays that come in the collection. One inspired by Lucky Charms, one by Fruit Loops, and one by, is it Cinnamon Toast Crunch? That's what that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, it's cute.
What a cute concept.
Sweet, it's gourmand. It's playful. It's young or not. You know, it's nostalgic. I think it's cute. I mean, and I, you like, know that, yeah. I'm not a layering person, yeah. but what a good idea to layer.
Well, I was thinking, you know? That. I was like, what a clever layering concept, because mm-hmm. what's the unifying factor of cereal is milk, and they exactly. have different cereals. It's a fun.
It is fun. Yeah. So we are lucky enough. It's very timely. What do you smell like today? Because today we have co-founder of Sniff, Brian Edwards. And listen, we've been trying to get Sniff on this show for
years,
over 2 years, and we've been close. But when this email hit our inbox, I said, girl, it is now or never. So we have a pretty hefty conversation coming up with him about where Sniff came from, some of the inspiration behind it, and some hard questions, some fun questions. You know, we all had a good time. So let's just get into it.
I'm Brian Edwards. I'm one of the co-founders and CEO of Sniff. And Sniff is we're the funnest brand in fragrance. We pride ourselves on making the highest quality and most accessible fragrances in the market that operate in very unique and differentiated olfactive spaces. Like our best-selling fragrance of all time is actually a croissant-inspired fragrance called Crème Couture. And so, yeah.
I do love that one.
Yeah. We did something special with Crème that I, like, looking back, it opened up a whole new world of food as fragrance for us, that obviously now it's like literally everywhere you turn. But yeah, I mean, it all comes from a place of that. We just don't take ourselves too seriously at Sniff. And we feel like that shows up in the way that we show fragrance. We talk about it. We name it. It's in everything that we do.
You're in the right place for not taking yourself too seriously. And we also start every episode by asking our guests, Brian, what do you smell like today?
Yes. Okay. So I'm actually wearing something that's actually still in development. Yeah. This is actually, it's one of the funnest parts about the job. Like literally every day I'm wearing a new fragrance that's like going to come out, you know, 12, 18 months from now. But this is actually a men's fragrance. So we moved into cologne. We launched a cologne line at the very end of last year called Noteworks. Mm-hmm. And so this is a new one that's coming at the very end of August. And it's built around orange blossom and sesame. And We actually made it with the same, it's made with the same perfumer as Sniff Me. So I don't know if you guys have smelled Sniff Me yet or yes.
Yeah. I have smelled that one, yeah.
It's like, that's Sniff Me is my favorite fragrance of all time. Like, I feel like we cracked the, we did something so, like, I feel like we cracked the human genome with that fragrance. Like, everyone loves it. And actually, so at the heart of this fragrance is one of the accords that anchors Sniff Me. And so it's warm, it's a little nutty, it gets compliments all the time. And this is like the near final mod that will come out in August.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Ooh, August?
End of August. It may it may be rolling out into every Ulta also at the end of August. Yeah. So
Okay. So TBD.
Maybe. That sounds like a hard maybe for every Ulta door.
Yeah.
But yeah, we won't press it.
Yeah.
So before we jump into the sniff of it all, we just like to sort of get a lay of the land, especially with our guests that I feel like probably around the same age as we are. We always ask what fragrances or scents or smells were impactful to you growing up, what brings back strong memories, and they don't have to be a fine fragrance. It can be anything you'd like.
Okay. Well, yeah, my journey is not nearly as flattering as I think you'd expect from a fragrance founder. Actually, the very first, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, but the very first fragrance that I ever wore consistently was Sexy for Him from Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so embarrassing.
I love a plot twist fragrance story.
Yeah, I got it from the Smith Haven Mall on Long Island.
I know that.
Yeah. They have a great Victoria's Secret. No, it's so embarrassing. It's so cringe.
It's not. Yeah. It's your truth.
It is. Yeah. No, I think that was like the first time that I was very intentional about how I smelled. Like, I haven't smelled that fragrance in a very long time, but I remember it being like a citrus scent, maybe a little spicy, but I felt like it was validated. You know, if it was being sold there, then it's probably going to be good. But I think my coming out party on fragrance was Tom Ford Ombre Leather. That was like my first like huge fragrance purchase. I mean, it was $200 a bottle or whatever it was. And I was like, okay, this is what fragrance is supposed to smell like. This is how much it costs. I have to like go into the department store to go buy it. And so it felt like kind of an achievement and accomplishment to like.
That's like a big purchase for like when you're a young person. That's a lot of, dollars.
I actually still have the bottle because it very much is tied to the inspiration of Sniff. So I actually like literally, I don't know if it's in my office. I think it might be in another room, but it's like I have it as basically like a trophy.
Yeah.
A lot of what I find wrong with Tom Ford Ombre Leather was the starting point for what Sniff ultimately has become. And then also there's like, what was one other fragrance, which was Dear Polly from Wilhelm.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Wilhelm is such a beautiful brand. Mm-hmm. And like that one opened my eyes. I felt like what fragrance, like a brand that spoke in its packaging and in its bottle and in its scent and in its branding, like that felt more like an art form for me. And so from Very Sexy for Him to Dear Polly, like that's been my journey.
Hey, I mean, we both started with like Bath and Body Works, so.
Hell yeah. And we never stopped.
Yeah. We all started at the mall.
But then, there's Wilhelm Wilhelm is not usually someone's entry point. You know, I mean,
I know.
Even with us, I feel like it took us
a deep cut.
Oh, it took me a while to get to Wilhelm.
Even in our like beauty career.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Like all their stuff is like just really surprising and exquisite.
Yeah. No, I feel like those like look back on the Victoria's Secret to Tom Ford to Wilhelm they were both like so influential. All three of them were influential. And thinking about accessibility, thinking about price, you know, even fragrance notes. I mean, looking back on like Ombre Leather, I don't think I would wear that fragrance today. Like it is really informed, I think, our tastes and a lot of the olfactive at Sniff too. Hmm. There's also a lot of fragrances that have been impactful from Sniff actually. Like, I mean, Sweet Ash was a fragrance that we launched in April of 2021. And I feel like Sweet Ash, I mean, I don't know if you guys have smelled Sweet Ash, but it's like the OG, one of our hero fragrances. And I feel like that was something that showed me the power of fragrance that could take on a life of its own, where it just word of mouth and people sharing it and wearing it. And it just grows over time and starts to build a fan base and loyalty. I mean, there's so many fragrances that we launched at Sniff that have taught me so many different things, but I reflect very fondly back on Sweet Ash.
It started it all.
It did.
Yeah. I mean, like, so was... Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say that was the first fragrance from Sniff?
No, that was the first fragrance from Sniff that sort of taught I think, showed us the power of how fragrance can take on a life of its own.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. So, like, what was the inspiration behind Sniff? Let's go back to the beginning.
My parents are both entrepreneurs. So my mom and dad started a Mason supply business on Long Island like 40 years ago. And so I give a lot of credit to them. Like, I feel like I grew up understanding in an environment about a very entrepreneurial environment, about what it takes to build something, what it costs to build something too, hiring and firing and selling. And I mean, all different kinds of problems, but you know, it takes an emotional and physical toll, but there's also so much reward that comes with it. So I give more than anything, I think my parents like nurtured me into this path and put me on a path of wanting to start something of my own. I mean, my mom tells me all the time, she's like, you wanted to start something since you were like a little boy. Like you were the kid with like a lemonade stand. And so I think that gave me the foundation to believe that I could actually build something of my own. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just like waiting for the right idea. And so I actually have a journal entry in my journal from back in 2017, which started to talk about this idea of like Warby Parker for fragrance, which was, I think, the initial tidbit that ultimately led us down the path of Sniff. And then in March of 2018, that's when Phil, my co-founder, that's when we were like, okay, let's start to figure out if we can like actually do this. And so that it took us, I mean, both of our backgrounds were from fragrance. I mean, I spent most of my career in management consulting actually before Sniff, which it taught me all of like, I think the fundamentals of actually being a founder and leading a company. Like it taught me how to manage people and how to think about problems and all of like, you know, the business boot camp stuff. Mm-hmm. But we didn't come from fragrance. And so we spent like basically March of 2018 all the way through to March of like 2019, basically a year researching how do you make a fragrance? Like even back then when you Googled that, it sounded like there was a script for how you would do that. We had to figure out how to make a juice, how to make the bottle, how to make the box, how to make the website. So it basically took us like a year to figure out if this was something that we thought was like a worthwhile idea and something that we wanted to invest our life savings in. And then in March of 2019, we started the entity, like incorporated the legal entity. We invested like every dollar that we had at that time. And we were kind of off to the races. You know, I think when you like look at the category, it became more obvious to us that fragrance is expensive today. It was intimidating. And we felt like it took itself way too seriously. Every brand was competing on exclusivity and prestige. And we used to say there were velvet ropes around it when you like walked into the department store. And we felt like nobody was competing on like fun and like levity and joy. And so for us, it felt like that was the white space. Yeah. Mm. And I think that's like very much what Sniff has come to stand for today. You know, I think the opportunity here is that we've created a brand that stands for fun and joy. I mean, and the world's not getting any less serious. It's a very anxiety written world. And so for us, we feel like there's like a huge opportunity to make fragrance that is fun and exciting for people to use. And it doesn't need to feel like it's an intimidating experience. And so there's a very like formative visit that Phil and I had to a Barney's in New York, which used to be in the evening. Yeah,
RIP.
The fragrance counter was in the basement. And I remember going down there and there's a million options. It's like stuffy. You're getting like swarmed by salespeople. And so we just felt like there was a better way. And so, you know, from like my parents to the idea to these experiences that we had, it all sort of laddered up into what Sniff has become today.
Wow. I like that fun was your white space. And then you just doubled down into that. I mean, from jump, but especially sort of like a year or two after you got going, I really feel like that started to come out and like show up in everything you do. I love your creative and I love that it feels fun, but also elevated. I know that people have beaten the word elevated into the ground, but it feels like cool and artistic and luxury, but you can shoot Lucky Charms and have it, you know, attract you to this fragrance or body spray. That's very cool.
I'm surrounded by creative geniuses at Sniff that have made the storytelling of fragrance through the screen so much, so much easier for us. And I mean, I think that's kind of, that's been a big takeaway for Sniff, is that when you take a photo of Lucky Charms, people expect it to smell a little Lucky Charms on the other side. There's like this like photorealism. I mean, our customers really come to love it, but that's like the best example. I feel like when I, you pull up like a product page for LA Labo or Datique or a Byredo, and you pull up a product page for Sniff, I mean, it tells the story right next to each other. Like, we pride ourselves on just being as visual and playful as possible. You know, there's not a lot of black and white on our site.
Right. Don't look at the copy on that LA Labo site, let me tell you. Also, if the listener doesn't know, we were referring to, I can say this, right? This comes out on Tuesday.
Okay.
One of their new body sprays is called Lucky Streak. And on the pack, they have a very stylized photo of a very iconic cereal with colored marshmallows.
you could probably guess. I'm so curious what you guys will think of it, because obviously they go a bit gourmand, but I'm curious if you guys get the cereal notes on top.
I mean, again, you're in the right place for going.
You are.
Especially with me. Sable can go either way, but I basically go one way.
I'm thinking now, like, as you were explaining that, I'm like, wow, the fragrance landscape in 2018 was not at all what it is.
Oh my God, so different.
Now, so different. Were there other direct-to-consumer fragrance lines, or were you guys kind of, like, what was that like, figuring that challenge out?
I feel like it was just you and the only one I can think of from that era is like Fleur and Commodity, I guess.
But like, Commodity might have not have been like refounded yet.
Right. True.
Because it was like there. I remember Commodity in like 2013, and then it disappeared, and then it came back.
Yeah. It was a novel idea back then. And I mean, actually the entire, you know, this idea that you had to go to a department store to buy fragrance was very much this part of the origin story of Sniff. And we started entirely online, direct to consumer. I mean, this is kind of a deep cut. I mean, this part of our business isn't around anymore, but Sniff actually started with a try before you buy model, which, you know, the kit that you were referencing at the beginning of this, we would send full size bottles with samples.
Yeah.
And you could basically try before you buy and send back the full size if you didn't like the sample.
Yeah.
And so this mix of like trying to sell fragrance through the screen was also supported by this idea that we wanted to get as many samples and have people try the experience from their home.
Yeah.
But also the timing of all this mattered. I mean, Sniff was born during COVID. I mean, we launched at the very end of October 2020. Mm-hmm. And so, people were at home, they were shopping online. They were shopping online for the first time in categories they never would have tried before. And I think they were looking for brands that brought like a little bit of joy and inspiration into what was otherwise like a relatively dark time. And so there was a little bit of right place, right time.
Do you think the try before you buy model, how impactful did you find that with the early success and adoption of the brand? I mean, or, you know, is it that with the creative, with the fragrance, like how did you find that?
No regrets. I think everything that we did has laddered up to the brand that we've built today. But I think fundamentally the try before you buy model was about allowing people to smell the scents that they were going to be wearing, which is very much a model that exists in stores today. And but for us, it was a way to get people in. For hopefully to make that initial leap and to come into, you know, to be part of the brand from the very early days. And so it ended up being like more of a feature than I think the main draw of the brand. But the creative, you know, that has been something consistent throughout the life of Sniff. I mean, actually, the first fragrance that like really broke through for us was outside of Sweet Ash was a fragrance called Tarte Deco, which was a cherry fragrance that we launched in September of 2022. And it was the first time that we had done really strong ingredient imagery around the fragrance. Like it was Tarte Deco, the bottle drenched in cherries. And you saw the way that people responded to being shown what it smelled like through the screen more as vividly as we did there. Mm-hmm. And once we saw, like, I mean, that photo shoot and that launch has informed everything that Sniff has done since creatively. Like, you guys see the way that we visualize, even from Milk and Cereal, even to something like Coco Shimmy or Crumb Couture. I mean, all of these scents are so either anchored in this ingredient imagery that, like, it makes you almost salivate when you look through the screen. So, like, the Try Before You Buy model was a learning experience. It taught us more about the way that people wanted to interact and buy. And then every launch has laddered up to where we are today and taught us something new. There's, like, so many of these breakthrough moments throughout this past 6 years, Turk Deco being one of them, that, I don't know, it all has laddered up into the brand that we built today.
I find it so interesting to hear that showing Tarte Deco immersed in the notes in the fragrance was such a breakthrough, because it sort of seems, I don't want to say it seems so obvious, but you're not the only brand to do that. There's something about the way that Sniff approaches their creative. It's fun, it's affordable, but it feels fucking cool. You know, like, I don't know who you're working with, who's shooting this, but, like, every sort of, I mean,
yeah,
I
shout
like
out the creative team.
I like everything. Yeah, right. But, like, again, even the Lucky Charms box, I'm like, how did they make that look sexy? And
it's all real. That's our team actually in a studio meticulously planning all of that to try to get the shot. Yes. Nice. Yes. I know. The AI creative space, that's like a whole other podcast worth of content to talk about.
Yeah. The haters will say it's AI, but.
But. No, but it's just like almost like delectable in the way that you show it on photo or on video. And we've continued to double down, triple down on that learning ever since.
So I guess another learning I want to talk about is you've been doing this for 5-6 years now. How do you concept and then decide on your next fragrance, or, you know, not even the calendar year, but what guides you to the next fragrance? Because I think from where I sit, it has gone in a very gourmand direction, and not strictly, but it's fun, it's sweet. Like you said, it's delectable, it's irresistible. There are always things that, whether or not I think it's for me, I want to smell it. You know, I want to wear it at least once. And that's due to the marketing, the creative, all of that. So what guides your decision-making for the scents?
It's such a good question. I would say we're guided by originality. That to me is the main starting point of Sniff. Actually, our motto internally is go left, implying that while everybody else goes right, we want to go the opposite direction. And I'm sure, you guys know this better than anybody. I mean, there's like a new fragrance launching every day, and there's a new fragrance brand launching every week. And so in a category where you feel like every brand is moving in the same direction, chasing the same trends, using the same notes, we're trying to be very deliberate about going the other way. And that's actually probably the thing that keeps me up most at night is that there is a constant, I mean, we feel this in the playbooks that other brands and other fragrance houses are using. Even something like Milk and Cereal feels like at some, like, even that feels like it's losing its novelty in some ways. And so, I don't know, I think we're guided by originality, and we have this rule in-house that if another fragrance house wouldn't make it, then it's probably for Sniff. It's actually that's where Secret Menu came from. So the entire thank you.
I love Secret Menu. Like, you don't have to tell me a thing about Secret Menu. Dead Dinosaur and Soda Snob. Yeah. Like, I talk about it every episode.
It's yes.
He does.
I mean, it is that's the core of Sniff. Like, Dior would never launch a collection like that. And
the name of the episode.
Not Dior catching praise.
No. Respect, but I think we're guided by originality and this idea that fragrance has been ruled by these traditional players, and what wouldn't they do informs so much of our decision making. But it's very competitive. I mean, even today with something like Milk and Cereal coming out, it feels like right now we're thinking about, oh my god, maybe we were one step ahead on Milk and Cereal, but we need to be five steps ahead on the next collection that comes out. And so, you know, I would say, like, other than originality, we're very much inspired by nostalgia and memory. And so we've learned this with whether it's Secret Menu or, I mean, the amount of comments that we got on Dead Dinosaur, which is like a gasoline inspired fragrance that we launched. People being like, oh, my God, it reminds me of being in the garage with my grandfather. Or there's a lot of videos of people crying when they saw that fragrance for the first time. But it's all anchored in nostalgia and memory. And we're typically, you know, we're never chasing trends. We say by the time that we see a trend come across our desk, we realize that it's too late. And so we want to try to make the trend as much as we can. And so, I don't know, our whole approach is to just try to break the rules and do things that other fragrance brands wouldn't.
Well, it's so funny because the secret menu dropping with Dead Dinosaur, I was so, and remain to be so excited by that. The smell of gasoline, Sable and I talk about all the time, put into a fragrance, and then like the campaign with the red BMW on the pack. It was just so fucking cool. And I don't know, I reach for Dead Dinosaur and Soda Snap all the time. I think they're completely triumphant. Oh, I think
the Dino is such a fun origin story because, well, it's actually, it was made with the same perfumer that did Sniff Me. There's the perfumers are the geniuses. I mean, they're the perfumers that we've worked with. They are the true artists and creatives and we're so blessed that they've chosen to work with us as a brand. But I mean, Dino came from this place of like gasoline is one of the most nostalgic scents. It touches so many parts of people's lives. It's so cross-generational. And Ugo, who's the perfumer behind it, he cracked the code on how do you make a gasoline wearable. Mm-hmm. But it was Dead Dinosaur, I felt like, put us on the map from somebody. So they showed that we knew how to make a fragrance, like a fine fragrance, and we could do something truly artistic. And so I felt like it put us on the map in a way that like Fragrantica could actually get behind. if you know what I mean. And so that it started it all. Yeah.
I get it. On the diffusion brand of it all with the secret menu and Noteworks, I'm going to say this to you because I've said it about you, or at least Sniff. Walk me through the process of Noteworks because I was a little sus because I think Sniff does such a great job of being for everyone, for all genders, without being heavy-handed about it, without being like lame about it. It shows, it doesn't tell. And it's not even something you notice, but you know that it's for everyone. So I was a little...
Wait, Tanya, did you not like it?
I didn't try it because I was...
I must have missed this episode.
And thank God. But I was just curious, like, why would a brand who has always been for everyone suddenly do a men's line? I felt like some of the messaging was like, it's for everyone, but it's also for men. And so, like, curious and, you know, hold myself accountable. I would love to sort of understand from your perspective.
I love this. I love this question. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. the honest truth is that everything that Sniff does is done genderless. All of our briefs are never talked about in terms of gender. We truly are trying to be the most accessible brand in fragrance. And I don't think, and when we looked at who our customer was, we felt like we were underserving more of the normal guy. And that was sort of the inspiration for where Noteworks came out of, was that what weren't we getting or what weren't we nailing? Like, why weren't there more guys buying from us, even though we were saying that we were genderless? And it was like sort of an unpacking of this idea that like basically half of the population still felt intimidated by how Sniff was trying to frame fragrance for them. And so Noteworks is driven from a mission of trying to continue to be the most accessible, high quality branded fragrance. And if you look at men's fragrance today, no one operates in masstige fragrance. It's like Dior Sauvage, or you're basically doing like Dr. Squatch or Axe. And so we were like, is there a way for us to do this in a very Sniff, natural, honest way? Like, and that's where Noteworks came from. And so like a lot of the fundamentals, listen, it was controversial. And we knew that we were taking a little bit of a creative risk. But also, like I said, like we are really driven by originality here. And so we thought there was something interesting about doing it first and hopefully doing it in a way that still felt authentic to the authentic to the brands. You know, it's still such high quality juices. Yeah. And, you know, it's like Clean Getaway, which is one of the three initial launch fragrances. The framing for that was like, guys should have a skin scent too. And so let's make a skin scent for guys. And Room for Dessert is a gourmand for guys. But truly, like if you smell them, it becomes sort of indiscernible what's a Noteworks and what's a Sniff fragrance. And we like that. Like that tells us that we're staying true to the DNA of Sniff. But we're just trying to make it a little bit more approachable for the modern man. I'm so curious. What was your feedback on it?
I just, you know, I think Sable and I, and Sable jump in, but like, you know, we've always looked at fragrance as genderless. And it's easy for us to say, being beauty editors of 15 years who, you know, I can, obviously we can all wear whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
But I think the industry finally moved to a place where there was more genderless fragrances. And as fragrance blew up, I think there was more of an understanding of, oh, this can be for everyone. Or, you know, like a Sniff or a Barreto or like whoever does not gender their fragrances outright.
Yeah.
Anyone can approach them. I was like, oh, like we finally gotten somewhere. And then I saw Sniff do like a men's line and I was like, but now where are we going? You know, so.
I feel like also like there was a convergence of these cultural movements. And obviously there's a huge cultural conversation about like the manosphere.
Yeah.
And like all of these teen boys and this crisis of masculinity, and then we see a all gendered brand launch something for men, and it's like, like what does this mean? Does it mean anything? And like the truth is like we know this had to have been in production for like probably at least 2 years, so it's not like you were like, let's get these boys sent it. There's not like a big conspiracy, but it's like the timing of it. We were just like, oh, I wonder. Because you're right. I think a lot of normie guys are underserved in the fragrance and beauty in general, like those markets, because they're not seen as like the primary customer.
Men are fine. Men have everything they need. Are you kidding? Everyone is underserving men.
I know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering that. I mean, like, I was just like, if I don't call myself, I was someone's going to.
Well, I think it does. Listening. It serves a functional purpose because you're right. Yeah. It's like people are. I'm sure there are like so many just like super normal hetero men who are like, maybe I should get into, maybe I should think about myself. Like I think about like, you know, like my boyfriend who like did not wear scent at all when we met. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to change that. Like all I had to do was just like put perfumes in front of his nose and be like, do you like that? Do you like that? Do you like that? And then now he has like a sprawling collection of scents, which to be fair, a lot of them come from me, but I swagged him the hell out for sure. But like, but now he actually like seeks out his own scents and he's like bought his own fragrances. So it's like really people just need an unintimidating kind of like welcoming hand to fragrance for them to realize that this is a really fun way to, you know, self-express.
Says the most intimidating person on the planet. Word.
I was like, where is this perfume?
You're going to love it.
So, well, this is sort of your question. I don't mean to bootleg it, but we have the perfect person to answer it.
No, I love the combative questions, Tynan. What else do you got? What other shit have you been talking?
No, just that. We say a lot of good shit about Sniff, you know, but we always wonder, how does a brand decide what scents to make into an EDP versus a body spray? And I know that milk and cereal, that one makes a little bit more sense to me. Like I see the like milk and cereal there, but when it comes to a body spray versus an EDP, like how do you know which one to do what with?
Yeah. A question as old as time. No, we have a really clear way of thinking about this. So we feel like fine fragrance is the statement, and we think of mist as moods, right? So for us, fine fragrances, it's long lasting, it's complex, it feels signature. It's meant to last, obviously, much longer. So it's more of an intentional choice. We find that our customer, and even me as an example, like it's what we wear out. It's what I wear to an event. It's what I would wear when I feel like I want to be remembered. Versus with a mist, it's more flexible, right? It's obviously layerable and it feels it's more expressive. It's something that can be sort of interchangeable even within a day. Like you could start out with the one mist in the morning and be something totally different at the end of the day. And so there is like a level of, I would say it's more casual almost with the mist, more intentional with a fine fragrance. And so how do we choose what becomes a fragrance versus a mist? You know, I guess those are sort of, that's sort of the construct that we work in, but it's also like a lot of intuition, I would say, and experience that comes with doing this long enough where you just like, once you develop a scent, I feel like you know what kind of format it needs to be in. And obviously fragrance is obviously so, so personal. And so there aren't any strict rules, but we feel like, I mean, milk and cereal is a great example of this. Like, of course the milk had to be an EDT. It's actually, it's more like an EDP. And then the serial mists are these mm-hmm. more layable, expressive things that you can combine with 2%. And so,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for us, it's like, I think it's a balance. And what we've seen is there's a place in people's routines for both. It has to be one or an, mm-hmm. or another. And when you come up with the idea for what you're ultimately going to make, you just know what it's going to be. Like it's intuition at that point. Mm.
Tell us about milk and cereal, because I mean, that's sort of how we got here today, and we would love to hear more.
Awesome. Yeah. So milk and cereal is the latest collection from Sniff. It's launching nationwide in Ulta in April. It was very much born out of the success of our pancake collection, which we launched last year. And so in milk and cereal, we have 2%, which is our first milk fragrance that we've developed at Sniff. And then it comes with three cereal mists, Lucky Streak, Crunch Time, and Fruity Call, which are all inspired by, you know, very nostalgic breakfast cereals that we used to eat as kids. Mm-hmm. You know, hotcakes and the pancake collection from last year, I think, proved for us that food nostalgia and fragrance isn't a gimmick. Like, for us, it's a real point of actually like emotional mm-hmm. connection with our customer, with our consumer. And so we kept asking ourselves, like, what was the next breakfast moment or what was the next food moment that we wanted to think about and start to design? And cereal was mm-hmm. like, so obviously the choice. It's like, we actually did this exercise mm-hmm. with a group of our customers, and we were just like, what's the most nostalgic experience that you guys remember? And it's like cereal. It's on Saturday morning. Mm. It's just like off and up to the right. And so, you know, for us, it's very much anchored in more of an analog world, not being on your phone. And I feel like it brings people back to just being home and with their family. But also, it allows us to explore olfactive worlds that we haven't done before. Lucky Streak is a marshmallow. Crunch mm-hmm. Time is cinnamon sugar. Like, it's a first cinnamon for us. All of them operate in this photorealistic world. And then you have 2%, which is our milky DT, which was definitely like, it was the hardest one to crack. We know that milky fragrances are kind of trendy right now. And most of the time they mm-hmm. lean on like sandalwood and musk to create this milky effect. But for us, we were trying to mm-hmm. create something that was very photorealistic. And so on first blush, it smells very much like a bowl of cereal milk. Again, mm-hmm. it's just like, it brings you back to, I don't know, simpler times. And so...
Yeah,
it's been an amazing so far, an amazing reception to the collection, and I can't wait for the world to try it.
It's so pretty.
I can't remember the last Saturday that was a wake up and just like laze about, and I'm like, now when you're an adult, Saturdays are just like, oh, I have all these errands I have to do.
I know, such simpler times. I wish.
Yeah, I mean, even like, I don't know, like in my like young adulthood in my 20s, it's like Saturday was like, you go to brunch with your friends, which is still
totally.
You know, some form of memorable breakfast. But like,
that's the next collection we should make. The brunch collection.
Bottomless mimosa collection.
Yeah.
Count me in. Yeah. So when you are, would you consider yourself a mass brand? No, not in the derogatory sense, but like.
We would say
prestige. Prestige?
Yeah.
Prestige?
Yeah.
So being a brand of your size with your audience, when you are rolling out a new launch like this, what kind of things do you need to check off for a successful launch? And we don't really mean like the paid media, the landing page, whatever, but just the things that go into launching a fragrance, like the heart of it. What things do you think about? And is there anything that you would do differently now versus when you started?
It's such an interesting question. I mean, I guess we have sort of a simple checklist on this. Anytime that we think about what a successful launch would be for us, is the campaign fun and differentiated? Does it tap into like that mm-hmm. source of bringing joy and levity to our guests? Are the fragrances mm-hmm. good? I mean, that's what at the heart of it all is, you know, it's like the raw materials, the perfumers that are working on every Sniff fragrance invest so much in the juice and so much time into making sure that they are unique and they're singular. We're very fortunate that the perfumers that we work with at our house, they've given us some of their most treasured ideas. And They're never pulling anything off the shelf for us. It's always original. And that's part of the reason is because we give them carte blanche, basically, to design and make whatever they want with whatever materials they want. And so at the core of it is we want to make sure that the fragrances are good. And we feel confident that across every launch that we know that we're putting our best effort forward. And then there's this element, I think, of how do we just cut through the noise? Like for the most successful launches, it's like, how do you try to stand out? And like we were talking about before, it's just, there's a new fragrance launching every day. There's a new brand launching every day or every week. And so for us, it's how do you make something that feels original? And you see the way that people respond to original releases. And so that's either new notes or that's new concepts or that's something that they never smelled before. And obviously then you need to make sure that all the product is where, especially as we've moved, we started as a direct to consumer brand. For the first 3 years of our existence, we were 100% direct to consumer. And now, almost 80% of our business is in retail.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's also, it was a huge pivot for us to our core is, like we talked about, it's trying to smell fragrance through the screen.
Yeah.
But now we know the people want to experience fragrance in person still as much today as they did before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People love to be in a store.
It's really good.
And smell it.
It's such a fun experience.
I love going to the store.
We have this whole theory at Sniff of toyification of fragrance. We feel like that is what has made us. I mean, we didn't know this when we were doing it, but we feel like we're making toys for adults.
Yeah.
Like that's what milk and cereal is. It's like you get to mix and match and play with these different fragrances. And like when you smell it for the first time, you're like, oh my God, you like that. That is a fun, unique, nostalgic experience. But then you get to mix, you get to layer, you get to combine. It's like Legos for fragrance, basically. Anyway, so I think like all those things sort of ladder up. You want it to be fun. You want it to be different. You want the product to be good and in the right place. But hopefully you look back on the launch and you're like, this felt different compared to everything else that's coming out in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when we encounter these internet first kind of brands, the assumption is probably that a lot of it exists on social media and is informed by social media. And fragrance now just being such a huge category, how much does social media virality or trend reports influence what sense that you guys want to make?
I mean, like we said before, I think by the time a trend has gotten to our social feed, we are too late.
Yeah.
And so our goal at Sniff is to try to be setting the trends and not following them. I mean, I tell our team all the time, you have to keep your blinders on and we have to run our own race. Because as soon as we start looking at the spate reports or the trends from the houses or even at what our competitors are releasing, it's too late. and also, we want to be known for our originality and for doing things that haven't been done before. And so as soon as you start to look at everybody else, you gravitate towards the center and you gravitate back towards normalcy. And like we talked about, like we feel like a defining rule of what we decide to make is, has anyone smelled this before? And would anyone else ever do it? If no, then let's go get it. But you have to be knowledgeable about it. You have to know what's going on. But we try our best to have it just be a data point in how we think about making things. And we never want to be reactionary. Mm. Like we don't want to be reacting to what's trending. We want to be original. And so if it could have come from any other brands, then it's probably not for Sniff.
Have you ever been ahead of the curve where something you release, then you see other brands?
Of course. I will die on this hill, but Crème Couture started the food and fragrance movement.
I think that was definitely the first specifically croissant scent.
EDP.
Yeah, that we were aware of.
I think it started it all. Yeah. That was April of 2023. And now you can't turn a corner without bumping into a croissant fragrance, basically.
Yeah.
So I'll take that.
Right.
Yeah, I'll take it. The next is Men's Mastiche.
Yeah, great. Okay, I got to smell them. I will acquiesce now.
Okay, the fun part about Noteworks is actually it's like 75% of our customers are actually women. And so they're buying for their partners, but they're also buying for themselves. And so it's like at the end of the day, it is all truly genderless. And we're just trying to reach as many people as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, guys, don't be scared.
I wanted to ask him, I mean, we told him it was going to be a 45 minute interview and we went a full hour. So I had one more question for him that I didn't want to cram in there to respect his time. But I'm interested to know. They release enough. I wouldn't say they release like all the time, but I am sure that there is a launch playbook, you know, with a brand as big and as social first as Sniff, there's going to be one. But I would love to sort of understand like what risk looks like to them and like how they assess risk, you know, because if everything is about going left, then what is left mean to you and what risks are worth taking? Because I mean, I find that in so many of the brands that I've worked with and for, it's like everyone wants to innovate and everyone wants to do something new until it's time to pull the trigger.
Yep.
And then they revert back to what worked 3 years ago. So I don't think Sniff is doing that. That's not what I'm saying. I would just, when he comes back on the show, if he ever darkens this doorway again after I pull that fast one on him, I would love to know that.
Yeah. I mean, I always wonder too, when brands go enter into huge retailers like Ulta, it's like, so is Ulta, and then you like rely on that big PO from them. What if you have to like, okay, we have to make an Ulta-friendly scent because otherwise they're not going to place a big order. And then that's in our projected expenses. Yeah. And that's what I always think about.
Well, it's also like, it's not only, you know, Ulta placing the order, it's having the inventory to then fulfill that order and having the raw materials and the staff to make it. So it's like going into retail is great, but it's a huge lift. And if it flops, it can bankrupt you, you know? So it's definitely risky vibes, and, which brings us back to risk. But yeah, I mean, something I'm just curious about, something I'm thinking about.
I always feel like there's like a, when it comes to like the big stores like Sephora and Ulta, I'm a little bit like, blink twice if you need help. Because I know like they're never going to obviously say anything potentially that would reflect poorly, of course.
Sure. Well, we know that Ulta is in the interest of nurturing the brand relationships and actually sort of partnering, whereas Sephora is a tyrant. So unless they want to sponsor Smell You Later, in which case they are the only retailer that we shop at.
Yes. VIB for life.
Yes. Isn't that goddamn Rouge sale coming up again?
It is, because
oh my God.
Inbox, if I, just, it's the only way I know. It's all like press emails.
I don't like to hate on influencers or like content creators, whatever, because like what a lame take. But I'm like, y'all are posting about a sale? Please.
I would post about a sale if I was paid to post about a sale.
Well, I'd post about anything.
As a consumer, I can see wanting to wait until this time of the year when you want to re-up on all your expensive shit. Like that totally makes sense. But I do think it's interesting how much they put behind promo of the sale, even though it's like, girl, we know.
Yeah. It's going to be a national holiday by like 2030.
Yeah. Sale days. What's that about?
We'll place Christopher Columbus Day with the Sephora VIB sale.
It'll be a
bank. We got to end the show. Yeah, it will be.
Thank you for listening. Please send us your lovely comments, questions, and insights wherever you can. We love to engage. You can find us at our website, smellyoulater.live. We love to engage. Go to smellyoulater.live to find our merch, to leave us a voicemail at our hotline. Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will
smell you later.
Smell you later.